God, but stay in this same posture on the inside. Glory to God, we're marching. Amen. I feel like we're taking a posture in that right before the offering was received this morning, that last voice of God and the last sound from heaven that we had was like a march. And I believe God's setting us up to march. Amen. And, you know, everybody else is demonstrating. Come on. They're calling all kinds of things demonstrations, but they know nothing of a demonstration. Paul said, I didn't come to you with my own words of human wisdom, but my speech and my preaching were a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Amen? My speech and my preaching were a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. When we think of demonstrations of the Spirit of God, we often think, of course, of manifestations, gifts of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And Brother Jim was talking about last night. How many of you were here last night? Come on. I know that's partly why you're so stirred this morning. Amen. You came stirred. I'm glad you did. I thought, I am in the right room with my people this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're just ready to go. Amen. So let's get this morning's deposit for these meetings, amen? Because the Holy Spirit is depositing some things. I'll get back to what Brother Jim said last night. But the Holy Spirit is depositing some things in these services, amen? In the people who are in the service, of course, first. But he's depositing things in the church, in the region, amen? And so things will be deposited and seeds will be planted and all of that, no matter who's in the building. Amen. Because a lot of things that are happening are things that are being declared and spoken into existence, if you will, prophesied and declared, because God says, before I do a thing, I tell you about it. That's what he said. Before I do a thing, I tell you about it. And so a lot of things are just being declared and spoken and planted in the earth in these meetings, and you're here to hear them, amen? But the realm of the Spirit is hearing them. Glory to God. So a lot more is happening than what you can see and hear with your physical and natural senses, amen? So let's participate with what he wants to do by receiving, amen? And I know you're here to receive. I know you're here to participate. Praise God. But as I was saying, demonstrations of the Spirit, we often think of manifestations, the nine, you know, manifestations, nine gifts of the Spirit we talk about in 1 Corinthians 12th chapter. And if you were here last evening, you heard Brother Jim pretty much challenge, you know, right? He's a good challenger. I like his challenges. They feed me, praise God. They stir me, praise the Lord. But you know, you heard him testify that he was in a meeting when he prayed, Lord, don't manifest in one of those ways. Amen. I love that. I'm like, I just dare you to just stand up and believe God. Amen. We, you know, in our ministry, we minister a lot with a tangible healing anointing, and when we minister to the sick, and I, pardon me, for about a year, when I was out ministering, I told the Lord, and I had a conversation with the Lord, and I said, I don't want to minister with that anointing for this whole year. I'm just going to minister on the name of Jesus, and minister in the name of Jesus. I'm not expecting to feel anything, not expecting any other special thing to happen, because Brother Hagin always said you can get the same results in the name of Jesus than you can with any tangible healing anointing, and that has to be true. It has to be true, because Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe in my name, They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It didn't say those with a tangible healing anointing. It said the ones who believe and use the name. And so I went for about a year. I just had to prove it to myself. Amen. And build confidence even in myself that no matter what I ever feel or don't feel, I'm never going to rely on that. I'm always going to rely on the name. Hallelujah. Amen. So we often think of demonstrations of the Spirit in those other ways, and they're wonderful. Amen. But Paul said, my speech and my preaching were a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And so we're not teaching and preaching a word and then manifestations happen. The teaching and the preaching is a manifestation of the Spirit of God. And your speech should be a demonstration of the Spirit of God. You don't have to say it to a group of people for your speech to be a demonstration of the Spirit of God. This is a prayer conference. Amen? Our prayers, glory to God, inspired by the Spirit of God, are a demonstration also of the Spirit. If we cooperate with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. And our whole lives are a cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And it can get more and more and more exciting as we go. And more adventurous as we go. Amen? Praise the Lord. Anybody else like the little details just as much as you like the big things that God does? I love the tiny little details. If He knows every hair on our head, I mean, He knows every detail about us. What moves you, amen? What excites you? What floats your boat, so to speak? And He loves to use you and move you in those ways that, you know, He gets you. Amen. He's not always trying to twist. I mean, some people always think God's trying to twist their arm to do something that's not them. But He knows you. Amen. I had the privilege of ministering in Zambia a couple of years ago, before COVID. And I was able to go preach in my first open-air crusade in Zambia with a dear brother, Christopher Allam, and he does all these open-air meetings in Asia and Africa and the Middle East. So I was invited to join him in a big crusade. And I've always had it in my heart, but I'd never had the chance to do it before. And so I was getting ready for the meetings, and I was at home, and you know, a couple of weeks, or you know, I'm going to be there, And you know, it's a huge outdoor evangelistic crusade with thousands of people, you know, out in the dirt. I'm stewing over how I'm going to minister to these people. You know, I said to Brother Christopher, I said, you know, I'm not used to ministering to unbelievers. I'm used to ministering to unbelieving Christians. That's my niche. You know, so, you know, we're stirring up a lot of unbelieving Christians. You realize you don't need more faith, you need less unbelief. God, give us more faith. No, get rid of unbelief. The faith is already there. Amen. That could go a million directions this morning. Anyway, praise the Lord. So I was getting ready for these meetings, and I'm stewing over what I'm going to minister, you know, in a couple of weeks, like, because this is a different avenue for me. And I'm asking the Lord about. I'm like, Lord, you know, I'm hearing, I'm ready, I'm, you know, whatever, what am I supposed to do? And He says, how do I use you? And I'm, you know, to be in all honesty, I'm a last minute girl. I didn't say I'm a procrastinator. I said I'm a last-minute girl. And deadlines are very motivational for me. And very, very often, I don't get what I'm going to minister until right then or right at the moment or just before. And if I'm ready like 2 hours before a service, it's like, can we start the service now? Because I'm ready. I don't want to wait 2 more hours. I finally got what I'm supposed to. Let's go. And so before those meetings, I was asking the Lord about it. I'm like, come on, this is a different kind of a meeting. I need something. He goes, I'm going to work with you the way I always work with you. I know you. If I gave it to you now, what good is it? You're not going to be preaching it for 2 more weeks. And I just have to set, I just had have had to settle in these 40 years that I've been ministering with him, and he's been ministering with me. We work together, you see. And in these especially the last 30 years, and we've been, you know, in our own traveling ministry, I've had to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Just get comfortable being uncomfortable. Because every time he always comes through. Always, always, always. But you got to get past that point. Brother Jim said it, you know, Brother A.W. Tozer said it, you know, where you get out to that place where that you can't go back. After a while, you just go, well, here we are again. It's just as uncomfortable as it was the last time. But I know the last time he came through, so he's going to come through again. And so here we are again, where I can't rely on me again. Oh boy, what's new? Amen. And so let's get used to new things being okay. Hallelujah. New things being okay. Yeah, but I've never been there before. I know. I know. I was joking with Aaron right before the service. I used to call myself God's next time girl. Because he'd tell me to do something and I'd go, not right now. But if you ask me next time, I'll be ready. Brother Hagen, one time we were in services, we've been here several times with Brother Hagen, of course, and just loved every minute of it. But the very first time that Brother Hagen asked me to give an altar call, I'd never given one before. I just sang the songs after the altar call, you know. I'm the singer. So we'd sing and be ready for him to help him, you know, and that. And one day he said, every head bowed, every eye closed. So everybody's head was bowed, every eye closed. And he looked at me and he goes, he just mouths these words, give the altar call. And I looked at him and I went. And he didn't argue with me. He didn't do anything. He gave the altar call. And all the time he's giving the altar call, I'm thinking, I'm so fired. I don't have a job anymore. I just told Brother Hagen no. Nobody else saw it, but he did. And our crusade director at the time, I looked at him and I said, afterwards, I said, Brother Hagen asked me to give the altar call. I said, no, please tell him I'll be ready next time. I promise, I promise. He never talked to me about it again. Brother Hagen never said anything to me again. And another time we were in a crusade, he said, every head bowed, every eye closed. And he looked at me and he said, I'd give the altar call. And I went, if there's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, you know, I was like, and I did it. One day we were home in our home in Tulsa, and the director of healing school at that time, this was before Jim was head of healing school, the director of healing school called us at home. Said, I can't be at healing school tomorrow, and I've tried to get some people to cover for me. Will you come teach healing school? I said, no. They said, what do you mean, no? I said, I've never done it. I'm not a teacher. He goes, do you take notes in Brother Hagin's meetings? I said, yeah. He goes, use those. I said, no. He said, really? I need somebody. I said, I can't do it. I've never done it. I can't do it. He hung up the phone. I hung up the phone. I started crying. I'm crying. Kevin's thinking, what news did you just get on the phone? He comes in, what's going on? I said, God wanted to use me. And I said, no. I pray, God, use me, use me. And then I said, no. I thought, if he ever asks me again, I'll say yes. And I was always the next time, not the first time. The first time would freak me out. And then you got to go, okay. So finally, I did go. I was asked to do the healing school again. I think I've only done it once in my whole life, maybe. Maybe this is why. But the first time, so when I finally did, you know, I'm writing everything out. I had everything written down on the page, on my notes. I had my name is, so I would introduce myself to people. I mean, I had everything written down. I wrote, before the scripture, I wrote turn to in my notes. So I would sound professional, like I knew what I was doing, you know. I didn't realize there'd be anointing and unction to do it. I just thought I had to do something. I didn't know what to do. And I started, and all of a sudden, God loved those people so much, he gave me something to say. Praise God. And my speech and my preaching became a demonstration of the Spirit of God. What a thrill ride. Incidentally, right before that happened, I was in the Prayer and Healing Center in Tulsa. There was a little break room in the building, and I was in the break room, you know, making sure I had all my notes together. And I heard a voice out in the foyer, and I heard the voice go, where's Sister Annie? And it was Dad Hagin out in the foyer of healing school. And I thought, no, he's not. I've never taught before, and he's here. And I walked out there. I said, what are you doing here? And he said, I came to hear you preach. How many of you would like Brother Hagin to hear you preach the very first time you ever did? And I said, no, you didn't. He said, yeah, I did. I said, please go away. And there were people out in the foyer there waiting to get into healing school, and they're wondering why I'm asking Brother Hagin to leave. He just laughed and laughed, and he said, well, you know, I can just push a button in my office and hear you if I want to. And I said, that'd be fine. I can't see your face. And he laughed some more and left me there. Praise the Lord. And the Holy Spirit showed up anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we've got to get used to and get comfortable being uncomfortable. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Are you all right? Glory. Let's get what he's got for us. Amen. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. I know you know this. And there are a lot of things we know that we don't know. That even though we know them, there's more to be discovered. Amen. Kevin asked me a question. Now, we've been, in 2 weeks, we will have been married 40 years. Praise the Lord. And he asked me a question the other day he's never asked me in 40 years. And it was, and I thought, well, where did that come from? 40 years and we haven't said everything? Obviously not. There's still more to talk about. There's still more to discover. There's still more to, you know? And we've got to realize the same thing with God, and even more so, that there's so much more. You may have underlined every scripture in your Bible, but that doesn't mean you've crossed it off. I already got that one. There's more. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, I'm going to read this from the Amplified, and the 12th verse, For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. But I like the way it puts it right at the beginning. It says, the word that God speaks. The word that God speaks. When we usually look at this verse, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, we think of it as the book. The book, the printed word is my sword. The scriptures, but you know, taking a scripture, that's my sword. But as has already begun the challenge in us yesterday and today, is the word that God speaks. How is your hearing? Are you hearing him speak, or are you reading the words that have been spoken? And what we need to quicken in us, and what may be a new thing or a renewed thing in you, is to wake up. Again, everybody else is demonstrating, everybody else is waking up. But the body of Christ needs to wake up and arise from our laziness. And take our place at the head of the line. The word that God speaks. He's speaking. Amen. When you read it, is he speaking to you, or are you reading? There's a marked difference. Amen? Because this word is, it makes it active, operative, energizing, and effective. How can you tell if you're hearing well? Is it energizing? Is it effective? Is it operating? Can you see a transformation? Is it changing anything in your life? Because this word is alive. It's moving, it's active, it's operative, it's energizing, it's effective. Amen. And that is not something that you, I mean, religion is the absolute opposite. It's historical. It's academic. At best, it's principle and philosophy and ponderings. But this says that it can divide the line of the breath of life and the immortal spirit of joints and marrow, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. It ought to be absolutely always, always, you know, going like a Geiger counter. Where is it? Where is it? Remember playing that game when you were younger, maybe hot or cold? You get close and they go, warmer, warmer, warm, hot, 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 hot. You're so hot, hot, hot. We ought to be that way about the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord, the word that God speaks. Amen? Hallelujah. Go with me to John's Gospel, the 4th chapter. John chapter 4. How many of you know just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're good at it? A lot of people professing to be Christians, you know, public figures and other folks as well, and you're going, well, they're not real good at it. And what makes you good at it? What makes you good at being a Christian? There's some effort involved. Amen? There's some effort. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean all of a sudden you know everything, you do everything. I mean, we are complete in Him. Amen? But we're growing and developing in the knowledge of Him. We're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're putting on Christ. Amen? All of these things, the wonderful thing about so much of this development process is God is so good and patient with all of us. Amen? That He's not dangling things until we get to certain levels. But at every level, operate in your optimum capacity at that level that you're at. Amen? If you're 2 years old, be good at two. If you're 10, don't be good at two. Be good at 10. Brother Jim was just showing us a video of their grandkids before service today. And how old is your grandson? 23 months. And your granddaughter is 5 months. And so the two of them were not sharing. And the five-month-old, you know, she's trying to get the blanket of the 23-month-old, and he's yanking it away and pushing her away. Well, he's not real good at being a human yet. He's learning. There was a Christian comedian one time, he said, I discovered that my four-year-old son doesn't know how to whisper. We were in a public place, and all of a sudden, he's blurting out stuff, you know? And he thought, oh, my goodness. He goes, what's the matter with you? He's thinking to himself. He says, you've been here 4 years. You don't know anything. Well, there are skills that are developed in life. There are skills that are developed in God. Amen? But the thing is, they are developed. You're not born with skill. You might be born with talent, but you're not born with skill. Skill is developed. Amen? My husband and Jim love to play golf, and they both have skills because they've worked on them. I like to play golf. I just have talent. I don't really have skill, because you know what? I don't care like they do. I don't care about it enough to develop and to practice the skill. In all honesty, I really don't care. I got some lessons. Kevin's got a great golf coach, and his golf coach gave me a lesson one time, and he offered, he said, I can help you continue. I'd really like to help you. And I said, thank you so much. But you'd be wasting your time. I don't want to waste your time. You're an important person. I don't want to waste your time. I won't practice. You'd be teaching me things, and I won't practice it, and you're wasting your time. I know me. But there's a lot of Christians like that. They want to come and hear the word, an amazing word, and it's, challenging word, like last night and yesterday in the morning and in all of these services, and people will come and soak it up and think, that is amazing, with no intent of doing any of it. You can't complain then. You can't complain when you have failure. You can't complain when things don't go your way. But I know the word. Yep, you do. But how are you hearing? With the intent of doing it or just knowing more? You're thinking, when are we going to talk about prayer? John chapter 4. Jesus comes to the woman at the well. And verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." This has been around forever. Amen. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get this water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Jesus said, "Go call your husband and come here." She answered, said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." Now, we're all familiar with this event in Scripture when Jesus met with this woman. Here she is drawing water, a daily necessity. A daily necessity. We have it on tap. We can, and we still go buy it at the grocery store, but nevertheless, it's a daily necessity, but you don't have to go draw water to flush your toilets, to draw a bath, to have a shower. They needed not water just to drink, but for every necessity of life. So this is something that has to happen every day. And Jesus uses this opportunity to speak into her life. This is what you need every day. Every day. And she's still thinking, naturally, of course, "Well, you're a man, I'm a woman. We don't do things this way. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. This whole conversation is weird." And he said, "If you knew the gift of life, if you knew who it was that was taught, you'd ask me for something, and I would give it to you." So then they have this conversation, and he says, "Yeah, you've had five husbands, and the one you're with is not your husband." And she's going, "Oh." So we're not just talking about water anymore. Now you're talking about my life. See, the word that God speaks is energizing and full of power, making it operative, energizing, effective. Amen? Even going to the dividing line of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When Jesus spoke, it got into the very heart of her life. And she says, "Oh, I perceive you're a prophet." And now her first question is the one that everybody really has. She says, "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Which one's right?" What's her question? How do I connect with God? You seem to know him. How can I connect with him? See, prayer is about connection. It's not about requests. It's about connection. It's not about just when I have a need and I'm at the end of me, now I'll go to you. It's about a whole connection with him. It's about his presence in your life. It's about, as Brother Jim said, communion with him. When we think of a prayer conference, we might think of how we can pray better. But let's just talk about how we can presence better. Because if you can presence better, everything is back in line with the way he intended it to be. Prayer is just our communication with him. It's not a separate subject. Because if we'll just be who we're meant to be, with a little effort, because every relationship is worth effort. Every relationship takes a little bit of effort if you care about it. Amen? And so she said, our fathers did this. Which is the right way? How do I connect with God? How do I make a connection with God? And Jesus said this, verse 23, but the hour is coming, and now is, everybody say now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. What does God want in all of this? What does God want? God's looking for this. We often talk about things originating with us. When we pray, it's because I have a desire for something. I have a need for something. It's starting with me. But what's God looking for? What's God looking for? God's looking for people to connect with. God's looking for what? The Old Testament says the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro, right? Looking through the earth, who he can show himself strong through. And we're waiting until we can't do something. And then looking to him, when we could have been letting him be strong through every area. God is seeking such to worship him. Verse 24, the most important thing, God is spirit. Yeah. Everybody say it. God is spirit. God is spirit. Say it again. God is spirit. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Good news, you're spirit too. Amen? So the only way to contact God is spirit to spirit. It's the only way to contact God. Spirit to spirit. We need to get good at being spirit. We're really good at being flesh. We've developed those skills. But we need to develop the spirit skills, the spirit communication. Amen. And so spirit communication, Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to say worship here is connection, just like prayer is connection. It's communication. Worship is communication. Worship is not music. We use music so we can all do something together. Amen? And worship is a good vehicle and it's a good tool to communicate with God. And it's one wonderful way. Amen? And it connects to our emotions as well. Praise God. And I mean, we're spirit, soul, and body. We're all connected while we're here on the earth. Amen? And so some music, you know, it'll connect with your soul, right? Well, that helps. Amen? I mean, sometimes that just gets your attention. But then connect with your spirit. Right? So to connect with God with our spirit always, always, always is heart and mouth. Not just mouth. Not just heart. With God, what I call spirit communication. Spirit communication is always heart and mouth. With the heart, man believes. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, we having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. That's heart and mouth. Amen? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. People often say, you know, well, just off the top of my head, don't speak from the top of your head. Speak from your heart. Because with God, communication is not from the emotion. It's not from the mental realm. Amen? It's from the heart. Every interaction with God is through the heart. Your physical healing, it's not through your ankles or through your knees, it's through your heart. We don't believe with our ankles. We don't believe with our knees. Right? That's why sometimes it's difficult for people to receive because they're looking to their knees to tell them whether they're healed or not. My knees are lying. You got to believe in your heart. Knees follow. But you got to get it in your heart first. Because every interaction with God is through the heart. Prayer is no different. It's not from an emotional place. It's not from a mental place. It's not from a place of frustration. Amen? It's not from, I just got mad at the news and now I'm going to go pray. You'll be praying from the wrong place. Praying out of your head and being upset. That's never happened to you, right? God is a spirit, and every interaction with him is through the heart, praise God. So every time we receive from God, it's through the heart. And every time we give to God, it's through the heart. It's like this is our conduit of interaction that goes back and forth through the heart. If you can't get good at worship, if you can't get comfortable at worship, you'll never be effective in any other area of your spiritual life. Because it's your communication portal. It's the most vulnerable and the most transparent place and the most private place in God. If you can't get private with him, you'll never be public with him. If you can't worship him, you'll have a very difficult time receiving from him. People are like, well, worship's not my thing. Because they're looking at the musical part of it, or they're looking at the outward part of it. But what does God look at? He doesn't look as man sees. He doesn't look at the outward part. He looks at the heart. You can look like you're doing this, but God knows where your heart is, and so do you. We can be saying words, singing words, but never worship. And the thing is, people have gotten, listen to me very carefully, people have gotten so used to singing along or participating with what somebody else is doing without connecting here, that they don't even know they're disconnected from God. And now you want to receive from him and you don't remember how to connect. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Why? God's looking for that. God's looking for that. Go with me to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I'm doing what we're doing this week. We're taking our time. Praise the Lord, because impartations need to be made. If worship isn't your style, then receiving won't be your style. This is a prayer conference. We're talking about answered prayer, not just offered prayer. Anybody can offer prayer. But Jesus said in John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, "Herein is my Father glorified when you bear much fruit." He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done for you. Then you will bear much fruit. See, the world doesn't mind we pray. What they freak out about is that God answers and that he talks back. Amen? Anybody can talk to God or think they're talking to God. And the most people, most Christians, and it'll be like what Brother Jim was talking about last night with Baal or Elijah. Just dance around and offer up and talk about your stuff and talk about your problems and then walk away and never hear from God. It's communication. It's not just a speech. Here's what I'm going through. Bye. You could go to the doctor and tell him all your symptoms and then walk out. Well, he might have an answer. Might have some help for you. Well, he's the expert. I'll just tell him what's going on and then leave. And that's what people do in the presence of the Lord. Give me this water. Get it in me so I will never thirst. That I'll always have a supply, that I'll always have an answer right here, right now, for every situation, at any moment, at any time. How many of you love it when somebody says, "We need to talk"? Anybody love those opportunities? We need to talk. Oh, man. What did I do? I'm going to have to change. Oh. And I think that's the way a lot of people approach prayer. Oh, we're going to have to talk. Come to the prayer meeting. Oh, we're going to have to talk. It's not about an event, an isolated event, prayer time. When we're talking about prayer and answered prayer, it's that lifestyle of communication with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can all quote it. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not just that he is, but that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's that two-way communication. When you come to him believing he is a rewarder, he is putting something back in you. When you're talking to him, he's putting back in you. It's always two ways. That conduit of your heart goes both ways, giving and receiving. Amen. Everything through that portal, through that conduit of your heart. So many times when we minister to people where healing is concerned, so many times people's hearts are closed off. They're so body ruled or so mental ruled that that their heart isn't even open. But if their heart will open just a crack, God will flood it. And healing comes. Because it's got to go through the heart. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And once again, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word hope, anytime you see the word hope in the New Testament, it literally means expect. Expect. It doesn't mean desire. It means expect. And when we talk about prayer, many times we're talking about a request, which would start with a desire. Amen? Oftentimes starts with a desire. You have a desire for something. And so you take it to God. Maybe you found scripture, should have found scripture, that substantiates the thing that you're believing him for. Amen? Can I turn a different view for just a moment? We often start with our desire, then find scripture to support it, bring it back to God. Here it is. Now I'm going to stand on your word. But it doesn't say that faith is the substance of things desired. It said faith is the substance of things expected. Do you know that you can desire something without knowing the will of God? You can desire healing even if you don't know it's the will of God to heal, for example. You can want to be well without knowing it's the will of God to be well. But faith does not give substance to desire, even though it's the will of God to heal. It doesn't just because you want it or just because you know it's a possibility. The expectation is an issue here. And that has to do with your relationship and your trust in the one who started the whole thing. Desire starts with you. Faith starts with God. Where does faith come from? Didn't start with you. Without faith, it's impossible to. Well, I got to get faith then. Well, where does it come from? It comes from him. Him. Not reading. Faith doesn't come from reading. Faith comes from hearing from God. Faith then gives substance to things expected. Why would you expect? Because you heard from God. Because you heard from God. Because you heard from God, now I expect God to be God, because why wouldn't he be God? So we give substance to things expected, not just things you want. I want it really bad. People sometimes come for healing and they say, I don't want to wear these glasses anymore. What do you do with that? There's been no faith statement yet. There has been, I don't want something. Do me. It's got to start with, come on, this conduit of trust. Trust is personal. Prayer is personal. Worship is personal. Everything with God is supposed to be personal. Trust is a choice. Believing is a choice. Amen? How many of you realize you can know a lot of things and still not believe them? Follow the science. I don't see anywhere in the scripture where it tells me to follow the science. Amen. You say, you mean you don't follow science? I understand it. I don't trust it as my source of anything. God made it.
That's it.
Who do you think made science? God made it. Man's going, look what we found out. We know how things work, you think? He's still able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think.
Yeah.
Amen. So why limit to science? Follow the science. I'm all over the place this morning. Expectation comes when you already know what his will is. Expectation then starts with, of course, knowing the will of God. That's the first thing, knowing him. When we pray, our first connection is with him, not with some agenda. Amen. I mean, you can have a list of things to pray for. Absolutely. Of course, you can. Amen. But make sure that you're connected first with knowing him. I know it's elementary, but would you look a little bit more here at this Hebrews 11th chapter? Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What does that mean? By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. What that means is Abel heard from God. First, Cain heard from God too, but didn't do what God said. That's why by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice, because Abel heard from God and did it. Cain heard from God and didn't do it. By faith, Abel offered the more excellent sacrifice. He just did what God told him to do. He didn't have a book. He just had a word from God. Amen. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So Enoch walked with God and all of a sudden just went up. By faith, Noah, verse 7. being divinely warned. What does that mean? He heard from God. He heard from God of things not yet seen, not yet seen. It had never rained. And yet God told Noah, this is what's coming. It's like Brother Jim said last night, all those firsts out of the garden. The first ouch. The first hurt. Noah built a boat. Why? Rain's coming. Okay, but what is that? Don't worry about it. Just do what I tell you to do. Yeah, but I want to know. I know you do. Just do what I'm telling you. Get used to or be comfortable being uncomfortable. We look at these guys like they had so much information. And they had some different kind of relationship or some kind of different insight than we do right now. We've got the Holy Ghost on the inside. But God told Noah to build an ark. Being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Ha ha, what he thought. I'm going to save my family and the whole world. By which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Hearing from God. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance and went out not knowing where he was going. Not knowing where he was going. The unseen. Going out to that place where there's no going back. By faith. What is that by faith? He heard from God and did what God said. He heard from God and did what God said. That's called by faith. Amen. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. All of these things, you realize they didn't have a book to study. They didn't have 10 scriptures to stand on. They heard from God, trusted him, believed him, and stood out there on the edge of the unseen. I know what you said, Lord, but could you give me a little something? No. Trust or don't trust. I don't like it either. But I'm learning more and more to be comfortable being uncomfortable. I discovered something about myself a few years ago that I didn't like. I found out that I like to be in control. Did I hear a big blah out of there? I think I did hear that. My mother was in the hospital. Awesome testimony anyway, but she was in the hospital and I had to leave to go back out on the road and I'm talking to the hospital liaison, you know, this is what's going to happen when your mom's released and all, and I get this tear and I start to kind of tear up a little bit, and the lady goes, "Well, your mom's in good hands." And I said, "Oh, I know that. They're just not mine." I can't be here to organize her care. I can't be here to make sure people do what they say they're going to do. I can't. I'm like, wait a minute. Why do I need to be in control of anything here? And I thought, where did this come from? Kevin's probably going, I can tell you where it came from. But I discovered this thing. I'm like, wait a second. I want to be in control. This is not a good place to be. It's not an acceptable place to be. I have to be willing to go to that place where I can't see what's next. But I've heard from God. If I've heard from God, it doesn't matter if I can't see what's next. Faith gives substance, or is the substance of things expected. It's the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. It didn't say not known. It said not seen. If you have a word from God, you already know. It's not unknown. See, I think the reason we're more and more uncomfortable is because we think it's unknown. I don't want to go where I don't know. Who does? But you do know if you've heard from God. You just haven't seen it yet. You're about to. It doesn't mean it remains unseen. You've just got to get to that point where there's no turning back. Even though it's unseen, I'm about to enter that realm of the unseen, and it becomes seen. Because Hebrews said, God, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. Right? When God spoke, he made things out of things not seen. He didn't make the world out of nothing. He made it out of things not seen. There are things not seen. Faith then brings that into and brings substance to that unseen and brings it into the realm of the seen. But at some point, you got to get to that edge where you're not going, I know what you said, Lord, but could you show me something before I step into the unseen? No, that's what we call faith. Believing him. Believing him. All this has to do with answered prayer because it's the trust issue that we have to deal with on a personal level. The trust issue. And one of the easiest and actually quickest ways to get yourself into that trust place, in all honesty, worship. Worship. Because that realm where he is unseen. But in worship, you can connect to the unseen realm in a seamless way so that your heart is open to the unseen realm. If you can't connect in that way to an unseen realm, you'll never see the spectacular things you know he's able to do. You've got to be willing to see him in that place, in that private place, that unseen realm of God. Worship. How simple. That woman at the well said, how can I connect with God? Worship. How can I have an interaction with the God you know? Worship. was that Jacob said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Heard Brother Jim talk about when Pastor Sarah came in, there was a presence. We've experienced already in this house this morning the presence of the Lord in a tangible way, haven't we? I know I'm talking to people who are experienced in this, but at the same time, this is the deposit and a declaration that needs to be made. And we need to be reminded that our worship is not just a time where we feel good for a few moments, but we're connecting with the living God, the creator of the universe, who is able to override and get involved and interact in every part of our life. Not just in the first 20 minutes of a church service. We were in a service one time, and Kevin was looking over the congregation, just kind of glancing, because it's part of our equipment when we come into a church to kind of look around at the congregation, and the Lord begins to show us some things. And the Lord said to Kevin, he said, see this congregation? Yeah. He said, half of them aren't even worshiping me. And this was during the worship portion of the service. And the Spirit of God said to him, half of these people aren't even worshiping me. Kevin said, yeah, I see that. And the Lord said, if they're not worshiping me here, they're not worshiping me at home either. He said, if they're not worshiping me here and they're not worshiping me at home, they have little to no connection with me. And yet these are the same people who will say, I'm standing on the word. I got a scripture. But there's been no trust demonstrated, no personal interaction with God demonstrated in their life, and yet they want God to be personal with them. Worship is so simple. It's so simple. And yet it still takes a little bit of effort. And a little bit of purpose, doesn't it? Isaiah said, put on the garment of praise. For the spirit of, I don't feel like praising God. Well, put it on. Well, that'd be faking. No, it'd be putting it on. It'd be wearing a garment. We live in Florida now. We came up to New York, and I put on a coat. You're faking it. No, I'm putting on a coat. For what? The spirit of coldness. I don't want to feel the spirit of coldness. I want to feel warmth. So I'll put on my coat so that I don't have to experience the effects of heaviness. I put on the garment of praise. I do something on purpose. Why? I trust the one who said he would never leave me or forsake me. I've heard from God. I have a word from God. I can approach him because he said, I will never leave you. I feel so alone. But I said, I would now. Glory to God. Demonstrate your trust in him. Small, purposeful movements toward him. I went to a chiropractor this year. I was actually having some issues with my shoulder, and I didn't know what they were, and I ended up going to this chiropractor. And you're going, yeah, but you're a healing preacher. I know. I was led to go to this chiropractor. Holy Ghost knows what you need and how to fix some things, you know? And I needed to strengthen some areas that were weak, so I don't re-injure. And so they gave me these small, targeted movements that feel like they're doing nothing. Do this. Okay. What's that doing? I don't know. It doesn't feel any different. And within just a couple of weeks, I'm going, Kevin, look what I can do. Small, targeted movements. See, we just want, you know, bam, go. But our heart, we need to direct, direct, sometimes just grabbed your attention. Make yourself focus on him. Don't just expect because you're in the room, you'll be focused. You've got to make yourself, right? First, they told me I wasn't breathing properly. This physical therapist, you're not breathing right. I thought, oh, I'm not dead. Is there some other way to do this? I'm 60. I've been doing it for 60 years. I've been breathing. No, you're doing it wrong. You mean there's another way to do it? And all along, I'm going, oh, that's interesting. Maybe there's some other things. The Lord said, no, you're doing it wrong. Yeah, but I've been doing it this way. Yeah, there's a better way to do it. Oh. We sometimes think, well, I'm doing pretty good on my own. God says, well, do it this way. Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm getting along. Yeah, but there's a better way. Really? Yeah, there's a better way. There's a faith way. There's a heart way. Praise God. Small targeted movements. So, worshiping, connecting with him in that unseen realm. How do I do that again? Glory! Praise you! Hallelujah! Still not connected. Saying words. Remember, it's not just mouth. And it's also not just this. God knows my heart. You could be thinking about what you're going to make for dinner. He does know your heart. You're not connected. Hebrews, the 13th chapter says, by him, therefore, let us offer continually the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What is the sacrifice of praise? It's the fruit of our lips that comes from the abundance of our heart. You can train your heart to do what it is meant to do. James, the first chapter, we looked at it yesterday. Kevin said it. He that is a hearer of the word and not a doer of it deceives himself. That literally means you cheat your heart. If you're not a doer of the word, you're cheating. You cheat your heart out of what it's meant to do. It's meant to produce. I can't say what Jim said last night, but in essence, he was talking about, you know, how you can use this attraction, you know, your heart is meant to, right? Believe for, and you can go it in the negative, and that's why people attract all this negativity instead of doing what it's meant to do, which is to produce God's stuff, right? You can never say it the way he says it. But if you're not a doer of the word, in other words, you hear from God and you don't do it, you cheat your heart out of doing what it's meant to do, which is to produce life. But you can retrain your heart to do what it's meant to do. You can retrain, open it up to God in worship. Open it up to God in that vulnerable place. Open it up to God in that unseen realm. Begin to see him when you worship. Use your imagination. He's given us our imagination so we can see unseen things. Your imagination is God-given so you can see unseen things. you realize you talk to people all the time you can't see, right? On the telephone, it's normal. You talk to people you can't see all the time. Do you find it difficult to imagine them? It might even be someone you've never met. Doing business with somebody on the phone? Talk to a technician or, an answering a call center or something like that. You're calling about information on a business of some kind, and you're talking to a person you've never met. You don't go, wait, I can't do this. I don't know them. I can't talk to them. I don't know what they look like. I don't know. What do you do when you hear a voice? You immediately picture someone. Right? You immediately assign gender. You might even assign age, ethnicity. Come on. You hear an accent. You assign a country or a state. And you've got a person pictured in your mind in a millisecond because you heard a voice. Your mind automatically makes a picture. We think in images. Your mind automatically makes an image, and so now you feel like you're talking to that person face to face. Not weird. It's normal. Do that with God. Instead, we sometimes get in the presence of God and we're like, where do I look? What do I do? What do I? No focus. Focus your heart and your mind and your imagination on Him. And let the words that are coming out of your mouth originate from your heart. Make them mean something from your heart. Not just parroting words somebody else is saying, but you're thinking about, what does this mean to me and to God and to my relationship with Him? And which is what the majority of you are doing already this morning. But there's a focus. Why is that important? Because you're connecting with Him. Then when you pray, same thing. Take the same tools. Focus your attention on Him. You're speaking to Him. If you're speaking in other tongues, you're still speaking to Him. Communication is language. Has to involve language. Amen. Has to involve language. So we're having a communication. So when we're praising or when we're praying, whatever it is, it's communication targeted to Him. Amen. Too easy, but it still escapes us. And we think so many times that if we're just in the room, it'll happen. No, you got to get yourself in that place. Amen. Say, my heart's open to God. Always. Make a determination in yourself that my heart will always be open to God. Always be open. Make the determination in your own, just, I will never close my heart to God. And sometimes just closing it is just ignoring, just being distracted. But pull yourself together, so to speak. Focus on Him, amen? The rest of these services, if you will come with that determination, then I'm not here just to get more information. I'm not here just to get a skill set. I'm not here just to beef up my knowledge of anything, but I'm coming here to have an encounter with Him first personally. Because if I get that, then corporately we'll have something. But every person has to make that determination in themselves because God is personal. Whatever it takes for you to focus your attention, because we're so pulled and so distracted. John Lake said, if hell had a particular characteristic, it would be that of distraction. If heaven had a particular characteristic, it would be that of peace. You can pretty much locate yourself. Am I constantly distracted? Focus your attention on heaven. Focus your attention on Him. Get yourself, God is spirit, and so are you. Every one of us can have that perfect communion with Him. Wherever you are, and it can get developed and get stronger and stronger as you go. And you can get better and better at being uncomfortably comfortable. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can we stand up? Stand up together. Praise God. Didn't intend to go this long. Never do. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, we focus on you. We thank you for reminding us today of your presence, for reminding us today just the simple act of coming directly to you. Hallelujah. The things that will come after will be in a place to receive because our hearts will be flooded with you. Revelation knowledge will flow freely. Healing mercies flow freely. Answers flow freely because they're flowing into the heart where you live. Hallelujah. Oh, so we open our hearts to you today in a new way, in a fresh way. We open up our hearts to you to flood us with yourself. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to that power that works on the inside of us. And that power is working on the inside of us this morning in an easier way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In a more peaceful way. Thank you, Lord, for your peace today. Thank you for your peace right now, flooding every heart, settling every question. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus together. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Our hearts and our minds and our eyes are on you, Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Holy Spirit, the revealer of all truth. Thank you for guiding us, showing us, and speaking to us.